Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and is ministering a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Scepter of righteousness is scepter of the kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Reading, if correctly read, the first chapter and the first four verses out of the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. May we pray. Dear God, tonight we pray that you'll send thy refreshing spirit to all of us. We pray that you'll let the breezes blow to cool our bodies. Let the heavenly breeze blow to refresh our souls. Our Father, we pray for every church that's represented here tonight. We pray for every preacher that's here tonight. We're conscious of the grave responsibilities that rest upon them. We pray, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll meet their needs, whatever they might be. And Father, we pray that you'll stay the hand of the enemy, that he may not accomplish that which he'd like to accomplish. We pray that you'll send revival as a result of these days together at this meeting. Now, Father, we pray that you'll save the lost and revive those of us that are saved. Take thy servant and loose his tongue and illuminate his mind. Give us holy unction in this hour. We pray, O God, tonight that you'll just get glory to thy name and defeat the satanic forces. And we'll praise your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the second chapter and the third verse, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I want to think with you tonight on the great salvation. So great a salvation is, we hear Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Paul said, I have no occasion of being ashamed of the gospel, because it has power to save everyone that believes. The power of the gospel has never been weakened. The power of the gospel shall never be weakened. It's the same today that it was yesterday. It's the same today that it was when Jesus rose from the grave and become victorious over death and hell and the grave. So Paul is saying, after these many years, I'm not ashamed of it, for it's the power unto salvation. And that's what I want us to think about tonight, the greatness of the power of salvation. My friends, I want us to realize there isn't any substitute for it. We're living in a day when many preachers and many churches are trying to substitute social gospels. When we're trying to substitute social activities. We're living when a lot of churches think the power and the success of their churches is how much social life they can have, how much entertainment they can put on. And we're living in a day when a lot of the people in our churches are clamoring for social life, for entertainment. And as a result, we're losing the power of God. We're living in a day when a lot of people are preachers and people are being deceived by thinking if we put on a lot of social life and a lot of entertainment in our churches, we'll reach the crowds. We'll attract the crowds. The multitudes always come when things are evil. But God said, thou shalt not go with the multitudes to do evil. And my friends, we cannot cheapen the gospel to get crowds. God has never taught us to cheapen the gospel to get crowds. And I want you to realize tonight, my friends, it's the gospel that has the power of God in it, not social life, not entertainment, not something else. And I want you to realize something else, my friends. We turn over the book of Corinthians and we find these words. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God's plan has been, my friends, to lift up Jesus. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save people. Not by the foolishness of entertainment, not by the foolishness of social gatherings, not by the foolishness of social entertainment, not by the crowds that gather, but it pleased God by the preaching to save folks. God's plan to lift up Christ is through the foolishness of preaching. To them who perish, it is foolishness. To them who perish, it is silly. They think it ought to be some other way to attract people. But my friends, the thing that has been attraction for the New Testament churches is the gospel. It's the power of God of the New Testament church. Not social activities, not social entertainments, and not a bunch of things like that. God's plan for his churches is the gospel. God's plan for his churches is preaching the gospel. And as we stop to realize that, my friends, I want you to realize we should not be ashamed of the gospel of the Son of God. And we must recognize that it's the power of God. Social life isn't going to change people. My friends, it isn't going to save people. entertainment in our churches and rock music and all of that isn't going to change our people. It isn't going to make new creatures out of them. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. And it's a great salvation, my friends. First of all, because God planned it. God planned salvation. Man didn't plan it. Preachers didn't plan it. Religious crowds didn't plan it. Social orders didn't plan it. Fraternal orders didn't plan it. Clubs didn't plan it. God planned salvation through Jesus Christ for the world ever was. Before any of the stuff ever come along that you figure is going to save people, God so ordered things before the foundation of the world that the Lamb of God was slain, before there's need of salvation, before there was a need of heaven or hell, or before there was a man. God purposed and planned salvation through Jesus Christ. My friends, we're not going to save this country through anything other than Jesus Christ. We're not going to save this country through anything other than the gospel of the Son of God, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We need to stop apologizing for the gospel. We need to quit apologizing for preaching the gospel. We need to quit apologizing for standing for the gospel. It's nothing to be ashamed of, because it's the God's plan of salvation. God planned it for man come along. And when man's gone, it'll still be God's plan. There's never been but one plan for God to save man, and that's through the gospel. That's through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only plan that's ever been and the only plan that ever will be. And my plan, beloved, it's a great salvation because it's God's plan. Had man planned it, it wouldn't have been great. It would have faltered and failed. It's the same today that it was before any of us was. And it'll be the same after we're all gone that it is now while we're here. God planned it. The plans of God never changes. Because when God perfects something, he don't have to go back and change it. When God got the stars and the planet put in space, he didn't have to go back and change the size of the stars or the planets. They all were balanced. When God set the sun, he didn't have to go back and change it. It's been there ever since. When God set the moon, he didn't have to go back and change it. And when God created the birds, next day he didn't have to go back and lengthen the wings or shorten wings. When God created the dog, he didn't have to go back the next day and shorten his leg or lengthen his leg. Everything God ever created was in perfection. And when God got through with creation, he sat down and rested, because he didn't have to go back and tamper with anything. He didn't have to change anything. When God got through, he looked and saw it as all good, and he sat down and rested, because he didn't have to worry about going about changing anything. Whatever God created is still out there, isn't it? Hadn't had to go back and change it. So my friends, when Jesus Christ come and died for us, it is God's plan, it is God's purpose. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," what? Salvation, our redemption, our security was finished. And Jesus went on up in heaven and sit down on the Father's throne, because it's all finished. Our salvation is finished. He don't have to come back and keep repairing it and patching it and lengthening it or shortening it. When God saves us all, it's finished forever. It's a great salvation, because it don't have to be tampered with. When God saves you, that is finished. Whatever God does, it's for everything, add anything to it. You can't take anything from it. It's forever done. And so God rests. And the Son of God rests. On the first day of the week, when our redemption is completed, he set up a day of rest. And so, my friends, I want you to realize the plan of salvation is God's plan. It is God purposed. It is God perfected. And what God perfects, you can't unperfect. My friends, you can't tamper with it. God perfected your salvation. And when he got it perfected, I want you to know one thing. When God got your salvation perfected, he sealed it up unto the day of redemption. You can't tamper with it. Nobody else can't tamper with it, because it's sealed up
God saved your soul, and the Holy Ghost sealed it up till the day of redemption. Can't be tampered with. Can't be bothered. It's forever fixed. It's forever. You can't add to it and take from it. Why? God did it. And you can't add nothing to what God does. And you can't take nothing from what God does. It's finished. It's a salvation that is perfected. Finished salvation. Completed salvation. It is God planned. It is God projected. It is God purposed. And as a result, my friend, he finished it. And I want you to realize this one thing. Brother, sister, before God, when God finished it, it's done. You don't have to have any more finishing touches put on it. You don't have to go having it patched and repaired and fixed up. When God saved your soul, he finished it. That's the reason it's a great salvation. It don't break down or blow out or tear up or go dead. Bless God. They that eat of this bread shall live forever. He that eateth of this bread shall never hunger. He that drinketh of this water shall never thirst. Neither can they die anymore, the eagle under the angels, they are the children of the resurrection. Whatever God does, it's forever. It's perfected. It's great because there's nothing imperfect about it. So great a salvation. My friends, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, the preaching of it, the teaching of it? Ladies and gentlemen, there's no social life, there's no entertaining life, there's no intellectual life, there's no other governmental life or institutional life that's got that. I want you to know the people of America needs this great salvation tonight because it's God's way of salvation. It's God's purpose of salvation. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose none of them. I didn't come to do the will of my Father. I do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up again at the last day. And just before Jesus left out, he said, those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them's lost. I want you to know it's a great salvation because nobody's ever been saved by the grace of God that's ever got lost. Nobody's ever saved by the grace of God will ever get lost. It's forever and ever. It's imperishable life. It's incorruptible life. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. You say, but my goodness, preacher, what if this and what is that? I want you to know God didn't save you on the basis of this or that. He saved you through his plan of salvation, which is through Jesus Christ, the only foundation. Neither salvation any other there is, nor other name under heaven among men where Bible must be saved. It's great because you don't get mixed up in it. There isn't any other way to be saved. There's no other name you can be saved. I don't have to get mixed up and confused about which one's best for me. There ain't one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's a great salvation because he's the only door. There isn't any other door to go through. Oh, if there's half a dozen doors, I wouldn't know which would be the best in. But he just had one door, and I know if I get in, I have to go through that door. And he that in this door shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So I want you to realize, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So I don't have to worry about what foundation I'm standing on. It's so great, they can't lay any better. The door is so good, I'm so secure, can't find one any better. And the way is so good, there's none as good. So I'm saying to you, my friends, tonight, it's a great salvation because God planned it. Great salvation, my brother, sister, for another reason, and that is God's love. God is love. God is love. God is love. If love ceases, God ceased. Because that's what God is. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever loveth him, though, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know tonight, brother, that God's love is a great salvation. We are saved by the love of God. Neither death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall keep us from being loved by God. And so, my beloved, they can snare you, lie on you, slander you, hate you, despise you, reject you, trample you, beat you, persecute you, tear you to pieces, throw you, and strip you naked and throw you in jail, but they can't stop the love of God. A salvation that nothing can stop. The love of God remains the same. We may become wayward and unfaithful and not genuine, but it doesn't keep His love from still loving us. He loved us even unto the end, and He loves us still. In other words, in the consideration, anything on our part, He didn't save us on the part of anything we've done or going to do or will do. He saved us because He loved us. And He loved us when we were unlovable. And because He loved us when we were unlovable, He'll love us when we're still unlovable. His love is not on the basis of who I am or what I am or how I act or how I don't act. His basis is on the fact, my friends, He has no respect of persons. My friends, it's not the will of God that any should perish. And so we stop to realize it's a free thing. He loves us. Great salvation, because it's free. If it had been a price, I'd have wound up not having the price. But He said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. That none of this says it's the gift of God, not of works, not anything you want to brag about or boast about or hoot and holler about. It's because of the gift of God that we're saved. It's a great salvation because we're saved as a gift from God. And my friends, when you receive something, it's yours. And when God receives our soul, it's His. I want you to realize, if you please, I'm going to give this boy right here a key. There's a key. When's he going to get it? When he goes home? When he takes a bath? When he goes to bed? When he lives right? No, he's done got it. And God gives you salvation, not when you die, not when you join the church, not when you baptize, not when you get to live in life, but when you receive Christ, you have the gift of God, which is life. So, my friends, it's a great salvation because it's a gift. Once you got the gift, you got salvation, you got life. You got eternal life, you got imperishable life. You got life which abideth forever. So I want you to realize, my friends, it's a great salvation because of what it does for man. Because of what it does for man. First of all, it makes us new creatures. It changes our nature. We were depraved. We had evil inclinations. We went astray like sheep. In the navel was I shaped, and sin did my mother conceive me. And I went to running from God and rejecting God when I got here in line. But my friends, there come a day when He changed my nature, when He changed your nature, and He changed you from a goat to a sheep. He trained you from a sinner to a saved person. He changed you from death to life. He changed your destination for hell, from hell to heaven. He changed your whole being. He put within you a new nature to love the things of purity, to love the things of honorable, love the things that are clean and right. And He put within you the desires and the motivating force to make you to live right, to live honorable, to live decent. Yes, my friends, it's a great salvation because it took us out of the goat crowd. It's a great salvation because we no longer run around with the hogs and the dogs. My friends, I want you to know tonight, He said it's happening to them according to the true Proverbs. The dog returned to his vomit again. And the sow to the wallow in that was washed returned to the wallow in the mire. But the sheep don't go back. He makes a sheep out of us. We don't want to go back and wallow in the wallowing places. We don't want to go back and run around with the dogs and eating up the old vomit. And if you're some of the crowd that's pushing for getting with the dogs and getting with the goats and getting With the hogs, it's a pretty good sign you still haven't been changed. When you're changed, you're not wanting to go back and fuss and fume and divide and spit up over other things. My friends, I want you to realize one thing, and that is these words from the Word of God. And that is, my friends, something that God said in the book I want to call your attention to. Listen to it. And we think about it. But for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And then look again, my friends. I want you to realize one thing, that if you're seeking after the things of this world and seeking after the things other than Christ, listen to it. In the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians. Now, in this that I declare to you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. If you're an old goat all the time a button, but, if you're an old dog all the time a barking, you know the reason a lot of you all the time a barking in the church? I can tell you. Up at Memphis, there's an old colored fella. Good old fella. He got so old, he made his living mowing lawns. He got so old, he couldn't push a lawnmower. He didn't have enough money to get him an electric mower. Didn't have enough money to get him a gas propelled mower. He had a push type. Had a big old German police dog. And he'd hitch that dog to that lawnmower, and he'd push and make the dog pull, and the two together could mow the lawn. So one day he's mowing near the sidewalk, and come down, as he come along the sidewalk in the lawn, lady was coming up the sidewalk, that old dog stopped and went to barking like he's going to eat her up. And it frightened her. She went back down the walk. He said, "Oh no, missus, come on. This your dog ain't going to hurt you." She said, "Sir, way he's a barking, showing those teeth, I'm afraid he'll bite me." Said, "No, ma'am, come right on by." Said, "This dog ain't gonna hurt you." Said, "This shed dog found out when he's a barking, he don't have to pull this mower. And lately, he's found an awful heap to bark at." And this crowd is all time a barking in the church. Bow, wow, wow, the preacher. Bow, wow, wow, the deacon. Bow, wow, wow, we're not taken care of. All the time are grinning and snapping their teeth and a barking. They're the ones that ain't a doing nothing, and they're just barking so they won't have to pray nor pay nor be present. We got an awful lot of folks in our church don't want to do but show their teeth and growl and bark so they won't have to do nothing. But notice, my friends, for this of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be heresy among you, that they who may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, you're coming together in one place. It ought to be one body, not a bunch of division. What, have you not houses to eat in and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And a lot of churches get in a place where they're bellyaching because they don't have a big social eating program and a singing program and this entertaining program and they're trying to make some other changes ashamed. Don't you ever let your church get ashamed because a bunch of dogs are barking and a bunch of folks trying to stir up division and strife because you don't eat and entertain and throw up a big party and put on a social entertainment and some singing entertainment to get you a crowd. Don't let that intimidate you. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, and I see some churches run around out here and get some great athlete and advertise we got a certain athlete that's nation famous and have him to attract the crowd, and that dirty hypocrite will come to your church and talk about loving God, and the next Sunday go out and play a game of ball to keep folks away. I wouldn't let him run with a bunch of skunks if I had some. Desecration of God's day. I'll tell you, there's some division coming in our churches because they want to bring in the worldly crowd, the entertaining crowd. Jesus didn't say if the apple be lifted up, if some entertainer be lifted up, if some singer be lifted up. He said if I be lifted up. Christ is salvation, not entertainment, not sociability, not that. Christ is our salvation. This nation's never be saved. It's going to be through Christ. Not through some social order. Not through some entertainer. Not through some other stuff. Christ. And my friends, if you're not satisfied, start lifting up Jesus. Quit trotting around trying to bring some old skunk in that lives like a devil during the week and want him to entertain the church. Brother, God wants you to know he don't appreciate it, and I don't even appreciate it. You say, I won't hear you no more, honey. You won't forget tonight. We're new creatures. We've become sheep instead of goats. Old goats all the time. But the preacher. But the deacons. But this. But that. But. All a bunch of old goats in our church who want to do is but. When the salvation hits you, it'll change you from a sheep to a button goat. It'll change you from a dog eating his vomit and barking to everything comes along, and it'll change you from being an old sow wallowing in every lollins dance hall, nightclub, mixed bathing pond, all of that stuff. It'll change you to a Christian. You don't have to build a fence around the sheep, around the lollins, keep the sheep out. You don't have to build a fence around the honky-tonks, roadhouses, dance halls, nightclubs to keep the sheep out. But if you got a bunch of goats, and if you got a bunch of dogs, and if you got a bunch of hogs, you're going to have to fence them in by something in the church that they lack. They don't care if the world goes to hell as long as they're getting entertained. A lot of our church members wants nothing but entertainment. They don't want salvation. They want excitement. My friends, great is this salvation. He's talking to us. We better not neglect this salvation because it's a severe penalty. For those who knows about salvation, if we neglect so great a salvation for the community and for the church, then there's a heavy penalty from God. Gives us life instead of death. What a great salvation, my friends. Jesus said, my sheep, hear my voice, know my voice, and run from me. My sheep know my voice. When my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. Where is he at? He loved the church and gave himself for it. And upon the first day of the week, he's at the church and he's saying, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but upon the first day of every week, not July, and Christmas and Easter, but the first day of every week, let everybody lay by in store according as God's prospering that week. So he didn't give you off an on in and out deal. He said the first day of every week you've been saved, you're in business with me, and the first day of every week when you settle up, come in and bring my part. Put my part in my treasure. I've saved you, I've gone in business with you, and the first day of every week, come and lay by and store in my treasure that which belongs to me, and we're business together now. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He said, follow me. And if you're going to be a sheep, you'll follow him. You won't be an old button blatant goat. You won't be an old fault finding murmuring a barking dog to keep from having to serve God. You won't be an old sow rattling around in the loblollies of the world. You'll be at the meeting house of God serving God. I want you to realize, my friends, it's a great salvation because of what it does to man. It makes him a new creature. It gives life instead of death. My friends, it cleanses from sin. Great salvation. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin. Big sin, black sin, all sin. Bad sin. My friends, sin of murder, sin of lying, sin of everything. My beloved, cleanses from all sin and presents you at the right hand of God without spot and without blemish. Science hasn't got it. The chemical world hasn't got a cleanser. My friends, philosophies don't have a cleanser. Man can't produce a cleanser. But this salvation cleanses us from all sin and presents us at the right hand of God without spot and without blemish. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not the blood of goats and calves and ashes of heifers. And my friends, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I want you to know, my friends, this salvation cleanses us from all sin. Removes every stain of sin. Man has never produced nothing. And man will never produce nothing. Then thank God, this salvation protects us from the shackles of sin, from the prison of sin, from the habits of sin, from the blinding of sin, from the binding of sin. Thank God, my friend, the shackling habits that had the grip upon me, when that salvation came, it broke those habits. When that salvation came, it broke those shackles. When that salvation comes, it looses us from its habits and from the shackles of sin and from the binding of sin. Opens our eyes and we can see the danger of sin. So it makes us to see we're no longer blinded to what sin's doing. I don't have to bow down to sin. I want you to know, my brother, sister, one of the greatest things about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ is the fact that I look about me as I travel across America and I see sin in its worst shape. And I see what sin's doing to humanity. I see them defeated, degenerated, lying in the gutters of defeat, discouraged, defeated, degenerated, deteriorating, rotting with sin, despairing, wrecked and ruined. And I say, oh, why ain't I down there? I'm human like them. But it's because of that great salvation. Not only did it save you from hell, but thank God it saved you from the wreckage of sin. It saved you from the shackling habits of sin. It saved you from the blindness of sin. It saved you from being a slave to sin. I'm free. I don't have to serve the devil. I don't have to serve sin. I don't have to serve the world. Saving grace of God set me free. I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Free. This great salvation will free you. If you want to be free, it'll free you. If you want to be free, you can get free through this saving grace of God. It's a great salvation, my friends, because then it positions us in the church. And when we get saved, the Lord added to the church daily. Such a save. Thank God you get to be added to the church. You get to become the bride of Christ. Thank God for that honor. Thank God for that privilege. Amen. Not everybody gets to belong to a New Testament church. Not everybody gets to be the bride of Christ. Because this salvation saved you, it made it possible for you to be positioned in the church. Thank God for the church, the greatest institution on the face of God's earth. Homes have failed, governments have failed, lives have failed, business have failed, clubs have failed, fraternal orders have failed, everything else will fail. But the church of the living God shall never fail. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When everything else is failing, closed, shut, and gone out of business, the church will still be singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and how firm a foundation, and I'm bound for the promised land. The church will still be praying. The church will still be singing. The church will still be shouting. The church will still be victorious. Why? He saved us and added us to it. And what he does is forever. What a salvation. How great a salvation. Then, my friends, not only that, but this is a great salvation because it prepares me for heaven. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm living right. Not because I've done this or that or the other. I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. And my friends, as a result of it, I'm going where there ain't no sin. I'm going where there ain't no devil. When I go through the pearly gate, I won't spit on the devil and say, "How you like that?" Ha ha ha! Touch me now if you can. Ha ha ha! Wear me now if you can. I want to go to heaven because my loved ones that I've lived with most of my life have all slipped and gone. Some of the great men of God that I knew, my friends, have already moved over. And sometimes I miss some of them so bad I can sit down and cry. One of these days, because I'm saved, not because of who I am or because I'm a preacher or because of what I've done or hadn't done, but because Jesus saved my soul, I'm going to get to go to heaven. Heaven! Heaven, if you please! Where there is no death, where there is no separation, where there is no disease, where there is no devils, where there is no disasters, where there is no darkness, where there is no night, where there is no departing or separation, where there is nothing but joy and happiness and peace, where there's nothing but righteousness in God, I'm going to heaven, my friends, because I'm saved. Aren't you glad God saved you so you can go? My friends, it's great because of what it is going to do. My friends, it's going to resurrect me or catch me up. I'm not going up through some mystic air missile. I'm not going up through something that may fizzle and fall. I'm going up to the resurrected power of God. I'm going up through him that conquered the graveyard and death and hell and rose up and said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. I'll come back at a while. Where I am, I'll get you up there." And so, my friends, it's salvation. That's going to be his salvation. It's the power of salvation that's going to resurrect me. If I'm dead, if I'm not, it's that same power going to catch me up and change me in a twinkling of an eye. And I'm going to rise to come back no more. That salvation, my friends, is going to resurrect your loved ones. Going to resurrect or change in a twinkling of an eye all of us. It's going to catch all of God's young ones up and carry them to the New Jerusalem, the capital city of the universe. We're going to get out of this old pilgrimage of where the devil is to torment us and torture us and aggravate us. We're going to make our exit and leave the devil and his crowd back here to go on to hell. We're going on to heaven where there is no devils, where there is no disease, where there is no disaster, where there is no doom, where there is no tomb rocks, where there is no hospitals, where there is no death, where there is no weeping. My friends, then not only is he going to take me up there, but he's going to let me and you reign. Reign. We hadn't been kings here. We've been laughed at and scoffed at and ridiculed and persecuted and snarled at. But thank God, he, the salvation, is going to make us kings. We're going to reign. We're going to rule. We're going to have places of authority. We're going to rise up. This saving grace elevates us to reigning. Instead of being ruined and disgraced and laughed at and persecuted, it's going to raise us up where we'll reign. And it's going to let us live together forever and ever. When we get there, it's home, sweet home. We'll never have to move. We'll never have to go nowhere else. And it's going to help me to have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and crowns of that he's going to give us undefiled, fadeth not away. We're going to inherit where the thieves have not stolen. My friends, where the moths cannot eat, where rust cannot corrode, we're headed to an inheritance incorruptible. We're headed to crowns that are faded not. We're headed to thrones that'll never falter or fail or be captivated and destroyed. We shall reign. We shall rule. We shall rejoice with him. He saved us for this purpose, and he's coming to take us there.